Geez, big show. You're about to get in your ear holes. Felice Kaufusi from the Dolphins. Billy Slater ahead of the NRL kicking off tonight with the Melbourne Storm taking on the Eels. The new Lions captain, Lachie Neal.
Oh, we made our predictions for rugby league for this season too. There's some wild.
I put my footy tips in yesterday. Oh. Watch this space.
I know.
I'm taking it seriously this year.
Did you not take it seriously last year?
I didn't do much. Well, no, Liesl did it last year because I did so poorly the year before.
Well, you got banned.
I got banned. Well, they just didn't ask me back. They asked Liesl, but I'm back.
I've seen the paper. They've got you right next to your husband.
Oh, am I in the paper?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Now, yeah, but you've got.
Did we pick the same things?
No, you didn't.
Good.
I think you had two different. So at some
which
stage,
ones?
The Tigers. He tipped the Tigers. You tipped the Titans, and you tipped tonight. You tipped the Storm. He tipped the Eels. So at some stage this weekend.
He's going to get 6 from 8 and I'm going to get 8 from 8. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I hope so for your sake. Because that's funny.
Let's read out a few of these. Runners by the floor means you're not alone.
4, 8, 4, 10, 1, 4, 5, save it in your phone. Hang on a second.
What?
Because outside of his opinion, I rather enjoy your two opinions.
Mm.
Tigers, Titans.
I'm saying Titans.
I'm saying Titans.
Oh, so you're with me. But Parramatta, Storm.
Storm.
Oh, I'm thinking Eels.
Mm.
Mm. It was,
who did you go?
I went Storm, only because Craig Bellamy never lost first round game, but I know the Parramatta Eels have got up over them 5 out of 6 times, but I think coming off the back of that loss in the NRL Grand Final, it wasn't great.
Hardest game of the round to pick, Storm Eels? That's a line ball.
Oh, Sharks. Who are the Sharks playing? That was a tough call for me.
Hold on. It's going back to the paper.
Sharks are playing.
Do you have a folded up NRL drawer in your pocket that you carry around with?
Season draw.
It's highlighted too.
Yes, the Sharks are playing the Rabbitohs. Oh, no, that's the toughest game.
Yeah, I thought that was the toughest pick.
Saturday night.
Mm. Anyway, watch this space. Sorry.
It's so boring listening to people talk about their tips, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think other people like it.
Do you?
Well, because they can pilfer them for their tipping comp. That'll be the only way they like it.
Can you send us a text on the burner phone just to confirm?
You know what they did text us about? Listening to Deb from Mitchelton talking about the phones, Marto, you brought up the fact that my children don't yet. Well,
and
my
I'm
eldest,
so proud
least,
of you that you're still sticking to it.
My eldest daughter,
phone.
She's 13 in 2 weeks, and
she
doesn't have a phone. She's not getting one. I grew up in Cabbage Tree Point, says Deb.
What is that near Cabby Tree Creek down at Sandgate?
Used to cycle to school every day or walk through the cane fields. Oh. Didn't even have shoes, let alone a phone. Didn't let my kids have a phone until halfway through high school.
Well done, Deb. We'll give her a super mum sash as well. I love that.
Parents need to get together to make it easier, don't they? And all agree, if we keep all of our kids off phones, then you don't get that exclusion thing where you've got the only kid.
Mm. Yeah.
Trev from Capera. This is a one from a couple of weeks ago when the Powers launch was on. Trev says, I finally had some of those Powers beers over the weekend. Bloody beautiful drop. Perfect in time for footy season.
Oh, beautiful.
They are good.
It's not the same beer that Powers used to make. They've made a proper beer. Proper
it's
beer
the
this
Powers
time.
Lager. The mid-strength it's lager nuts. Is actually
it's,
delicious.
It's not the crap that they made
we
back in the 80s.
We taste tested it in here. It was lovely.
Yep. Recommended.
Paul from Green Bay.
Well, it's not rum, but it's decent.
It's no rum.
Mm. No, nothing's wrong.
Classic Aussie cricketers.
Okay, let that go.
Classy.
Because I am the rum lord.
Sorry, Margot. He keeps doing it.
Let me finish. It's like that.
What do you got?
No, I was going to tell a joke, but I can't remember it. You know when you can't remember it properly? Knock, knock.
Who's that?
Interrupting cow.
Because I am the rum lord.
Interrupting rum lord.
Can you tell one that no one's heard? You're funny.
Oh, I had to try and make the kids laugh the other day. It's like a new thing. I must be at it.
I'll give you one. Margo, ask me what the secret to good comedy is.
What's the secret?
Timing.
same joke.
Same game.
It's exact same joke.
That'll do.
Why did Sally fall off the swing?
Someone threw a frigidaire.
Someone threw a what?
Frigidaire, right?
Sally had no arms.
Oh.
Knock, knock.
Who's it? Not Sally.
Not Sally. That's great. That's River's favourite joke.
I love that.
I love a good joke.
That's real good for her.
Good disability joke.
That's good
Always
for
goes down well at school, which is where she told it.
Bullying!
It's because it's a bit of armless fun.
Oh, bloody hell. Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M Breakfast. Brisbane Ass. Hey, there's been a bit of outrage and backlash over what Channel 9's doing this evening. A Current Affair cancelled. here in Queensland. But they, no Ali, married at first sight. Ali's they're playing something called started. Rugby league.
Well, they're putting a speed bump in Ali Langdon's way already.
A current affair was just getting traction and all of a sudden this game called rugby league is on. Eels versus Storm, 7 p.m. tonight. We need to speak to someone at 9, and who better than the chief programming officer, Billy Slater.
Hello, Billy. What do you know about this NRL thing?
What's going on?
Good morning, guys. I pretend I know a little bit, but just like everyone else, just looking forward to the footy being back. It's been a long 5 months over the summer, and we're back on.
What about the launch of the best commentary team in the game, the most NRL and NRLW games ever available for free, all on Channel 9?
Give me a taste.
We've got Andrew Johns,
no,
premiership winning captains, Cameron Smith, Jonathan Thurston, Brad Fittler, Paul Vorton, Paul Gallen, Darren Lockyer, multiple premiership winners, Billy Slater, that's you. That's Sonny Bill Williams.
That's too much.
Bill Gould AM to provide the best insight and analysis on what's going to be an incredible rugby league season, Billy Slater. Wow.
Boy, I hope your husband's not listening to this.
We love Fox.
Speaking of Corey, Billy, he actually volunteered to do every single game this weekend. Is he already in Sydney?
He's left early. I said, Dick Kane doesn't start till tonight, mate.
He may not come back. You mentioned a long off-season. He may not come back till May, Billy. But you must also be very excited, mate. Your Storm taking on the Eels tonight, 7 p.m, as Marto mentioned, Channel 9.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. Two of the premier teams of the competition. Obviously, Parramatta had a great season last year and playing in the grand final. They'll want to go one better this year. And look, the Melbourne Storm are consistent high achievers and a few injuries at the moment down in Melbourne. No Pappenhausen. Justin Olam is also out for the opening round. So, but still, as ever, they field a competitive side. And I think this one's going to be really close. And Craig Bellamy hasn't lost a round one match in his career as a head coach, and I don't think that's going to change tonight.
Oh, you don't think it is? Let's talk about Bellyache. Did you see the other day he sort of was hinting maybe this is his last season? What do you reckon? Have you heard that before at some stage?
I have. I think it will be his last season, but I thought 3 years ago was his last season.
I know.
I mean, if you've seen his new haircut, you'll know he's already given up.
What's going on with that?
I don't want to make you feel bad, but it was for charity.
Okay. Well, that explains it.
Little kiddies with cancer. Jeez.
But he doesn't see the shaved head. Let's just leave it at that. I think the one thing that I haven't seen diminishing Craig Bellamy is his passion for what he does. He still loves coaching. He's still got a great enthusiasm to be as good as he possibly can, and that's his number one strength. We know he's got a great work ethic, and he instills that in his club and his players. And they've got some quality in their key positions. You think Munster, Hughes, and Pappenhausen, Grant at number 9. I think they're still going to be there when the whips are cracking at the end of the year, and they start well.
Billy, if I put a couple of dollars on Will Warbrick, he's was an All Black Sevens player. Have you seen this bloke on the wing? First try scorer of the game tonight. Would I be in the right park?
Well, I'm not allowed to bet on rugby league, so I can't help influence you there.
Okay,
but
okay.
I'll tell you what I can
say. What if the bet was for charity,
Warbrick,
Bill? Yeah, it's for charity.
I'm giving it to kiddies cancer.
Marto will shave his head.
For the kiddies.
Will Warbrick. Been at the club for about 12 months now, and that time he's learnt the game. Obviously, played at the elite level over in New Zealand in the Sevens competition, went to the Olympics, and he's just got a great work ethic, a great thirst to be as good as he possibly can. And he's a big, strong, athletic winger and gets his opportunity tonight. And I think he'll go well. The other guy that I've been impressed with is Ali Katoa, the back row from the Warriors. I think he's in for a big season as well.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Billy, before we let you go, we mentioned this earlier, the Broncos targeting Fifita, who's playing for the Titans now. The Broncos have lost a couple of players, you know, in a season's time, which will free up some cash. What are you hearing about them trying to get Fifita?
No, this is the first I've heard of it, but it wouldn't surprise me. He's obviously a quality player, Dave Fifita, and he's been a Bronco before. The thing with the Broncos is they've recruited really well, and all those young guys are a year older, a year more experienced, and that motivation from finishing the season on a sour note last year is certainly going to be there. And I expect the Broncos to play finals. I think they're in for a good season.
You'll have a keen eye across the playing field in these first couple of months leading into Origin. How do you do your selection, Billy? Because I know it's always pick and stick with Queensland. You know, you stick to the players that have been there and they're loyal. And, you know, even if they're not maybe in the greatest form, well, we don't want them to be in jail.
Not in jail.
As the Queensland coach, what are you looking for from your players in this first couple of rounds of the season before you Game one Origin?
Yeah, I think when you perform at that level and you've done the job before, there's certainly some credit in the bank for some players. But even when I was a player, I always felt that I had to earn or re-earn my opportunity to play for Queensland. And that was not just to be selected. You want to be playing well and creating those habits in your game that have got you the opportunity before. So when you do get that chance to play for Queensland, you're ready and you're going to give yourself the best chance to play well. So that's the line I'm sort of taking. I'm really looking forward to the first 12 games of the season and seeing what players have those habits and continually outlay those habits each week, because we all know when you get tired, you fall back on your muscle memory and those habits will certainly come to the fore.
How good is it? 10.5 hours until the first game of NRL and we're talking Origin already.
There you go. Billy Slater, the man with 100% win rate in series in Origin.
So true.
Good on you, Bill.
Beauty. I like that.
And tell Gus to shut up.
It's Marto and Margo and Dan on Triple M.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan.
Peter Vlanders.
Rugby League.
That's right, Porter. Rugby League is back tonight. Storm taking on the Eels this evening, 7 p.m. our time.
7 p.m. kickoff tonight, Storm v Eels.
Dolphins, I believe it's 3:05 p.m. Sunday afternoon.
Correct.
Suncorp Stadium v the Roosters. First ever game for the Dolphins in the NRL.
What a day. You can say you were there if you want to get there. This bloke will definitely be there. He'll be running on. Police Kafusi. How are you, mate?
Good morning. Fins up.
Fins up. Now, listen, Bundaberg boy, can we just go with your name first? I've heard that your name should be pronounced Galfusi. Do we have to change? You know, the move now, Ray Warren's no longer commentating. All the commentators going, we've got to pronounce all the Polynesian boys' names properly. Do we have to change your name?
Well, yeah, to be political, yes, it is Galfusi, because in Tongan they pronounce it the K as a G, so it's Galfusi.
Galfusi.
Well, Junior Paulo is now Baulo, so is the P's B's in some dialect as well, Felice?
Must be. Yeah, must be.
So, you're happy with Galfusi? Is that all right, Felice?
Yeah, look, I've just, growing up, even my first name is Felice, but because I guess people couldn't get their tongues around it.
Sorry, Felice.
Which is easier. And then I've got Felix, I've got Felicity, I've got Phyllis, I've got everything. So I just say Felice Navidad, like Felice.
Hey,
Felice
Navidad. What's been the difference since, you know, you're in the system at the Storm for so many years, now at the Dolphins? What the difference have we had pre-season-wise?
Look, man, it's just been a nice, fresh start. You go from doing this sort of the same thing over and over again for 10 years and now it's just a new look and life on footy as well. So it's been a nice, fresh change for myself and been learning new things.
Felice, are you enjoying Redcliffe? How is it, the city treating you?
Yes, definitely. And even on my way in this morning, I see people walking their dogs with their dolphin shorts on or kids around with their jerseys. So it's all starting to get a bit real and definitely puts a smile on my face at all the Redcliffe's behind us.
Felice, can you just put something to bed for us right now? How annoying is Jared Wallace?
Oh, he doesn't stop my 4 years. Both of them are gone.
Yeah. Who's got the locker next to his in the dressing room, change room? Because do you rotate that locker, actually? Whoever has the worst performance has to get changed and be around Jared Wallace the most.
Well, the poor things, man. I don't put that on anyone to put up with him.
Do you boys get a choice in who you get to room with? Because obviously you're going to be playing, 7 games at Suncorp this year, which is awesome. But outside of that, you'll be travelling. And do you get to pick who you room with, or is that bestowed upon you? Do you get to put in who you don't want to room with? Who have you heard
look,
about?
Well, definitely Jared Wallace. I definitely want him off the list.
But,
no, we haven't actually put that stuff out yet, but my roomie down in Melbourne was Kenny Bromwich, so if I can put his name forward again.
That's nice. Familiarity.
He doesn't want to hang around his brother, does he? Hey, listen, just about the Storm playing tonight, have you still got contact with a few of those mates? You were there an awful long time, and how should they go to this evening?
I reckon they'll be right. They haven't lost their first round
in
ever how long.
But isn't it, haven't Parramatta beat them the last five of six games or something?
Put on them. Well, yeah.
Parramatta has been our bogey side the last couple of years, and especially they're playing this. So I'll throw back to Storm.
Do you speak to Craig Bellamy? Do you text him at all and go, geez, Wayne Bennett bloke, he doesn't know what he's doing?
No, he must have lost my number because he still owes me a bloody coffee and banana bread.
The important things in life.
Toasted or fresh, Felice?
Oh, toasted with butter.
Yeah, how good. Oh. Delicious. Now,
sounds like pre-season's been a big off-season for us.
I think Milf's been tucking into a bit of banana bread with you, Felice.
Oh, well, while we're talking... While we're talking Milf, who's been overlooked for Katoa, no one knows this young Katoa kitty. He's come from Penrith. Apparently, he's unbelievable. Is that where you're going to get a lot of your points? Because I'm worried you won't score enough points. I know you'll be tough up front. How good's this Katoa kid?
Man, he's a freak, and he's only 19. He actually toured with us and played for Tonga in off-season.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Telling everyone that he was still doing his HSC exams while we're overseas. So I was like, man, this kid's only 18, now 19, right. And he's a gun.
He doesn't look like he likes tackling. Who's going to be his bodyguard?
Obviously me.
Yeah, right.
I've got to pull my way there.
How's his shoulders holding up, Felice?
They're healthy. Yeah. They're ready to go.
Not like Latrell Mitchell's
than
shoulders.
Latrell's, yeah.
My shoulders.
Okay. Hey, Felice, are we being ignorant here? Katoa, is it Gatoa?
Oh, sorry.
Is the K, like, for real, is it technically said like a G?
So if I'm Tongan and I'm watching TV, is it the Kardashians?
You know what? I would actually say it's Kardashian.
Yeah, exactly. Sure, no. Yeah, good.
Kardashians.
And you're geeping up with them.
Yeah.
Geeping up with the Kardashians.
All right. That's yeah.
Felice, we want to get some people along to watch the Mighty Dolphins on
Felice
Sunday.
Oh, Felice said he's got tickets.
Yeah, let's go.
Yes, I've got tickets.
All right. Felice is making it rain tickets right now. 133353 if you want to be there on Sunday. And there's going to be, don't let this frighten you, Felice, on Sunday there'll be some Triple M Nuffy listeners of ours watching in the back of a ute on the sideline, all right? But they'll be getting around you too, mate.
Awesome. Awesome.
Up the Finns, go the Dolphins.
Oh, listen, just first try of the season, will you be doing the hand on the middle of the head Finn style?
I haven't been much of a try celebration.
No, I don't think you're going to score it. I mean, whoever's going to score it.
Definitely. Finns up, you have to.
Problem is it looks a bit like a rooster's cockerel, doesn't it?
Oh, it does,
and
too.
Playing against the Roosters. Mm. That's trouble. We'll figure that out. Good on you, Felice. Appreciate your time. We're talking to you multiple times through the season.
Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M Breakfast. They're Brisbane Az.
Our local Logan boy, Jim Chalmers, is our federal treasurer, and lately he's been letting a few thought bubbles out into the open.
Come to life.
And, of course, he's been talking about touching people's super, and everyone's going, oh, no, that's my money, that's not yours. Actually, we don't know what's going on. That's why we get this bloke, Scott Phillips from Motley Fool. How are you, bud?
Guys, good morning. Always good to be with you. Just quietly, go the Chooks on the weekend.
Yeah, okay. Well, you should be pretty right against the Dolphins. Hey, mate, can you explain this in dummy terms to us? What are they threatening to do? Does it affect any of us?
Probably about three or four listeners, if the numbers are right, what the federal government's looking at. So let's break it down. We know a lot of people have a lot of money in super. We've heard the reports. There is one super fund out there with $500 million in it. Right now in super, you have an amount up to $1.7 million is taxed at 0%. They call it the pension account. Well, this is when you retire, by the way.
Yeah.
The rest above that is taxed at 15%. Now, you look at someone on half a billion dollars worth of super and say, should you really be only paying 15% super when plenty of people listening are paying 30, 35, 45 cents in the dollar in tax? And you say, well, that doesn't seem particularly fair. We want people to have a good retirement. We want to incentivize them saving money in super. But we don't want to make this massive big tax shelter and tax break that takes money out of the public purse and means the rest of us have to pay more. So that's the starting point. I think there are very, very few people, other than maybe the opposition, who are saying that seems like something that needs to be fixed. So fixing it is an easy one.
Righto.
The how is the hard bit. So what they're now saying is if you have a super fund with more than $3 million in it, again, not many of us, in fact, only 80,000 Australians, so less than half of 1% of us, if you have over $3 million, the bit that's over $3 million will now be taxed at 30% rather than 15%. That is effectively the entire proposal.
That seems okay.
It's fine, isn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Like you got to wonder who's complaining about that. Now, look, this is where the politics gets in. I don't want to talk about the politics necessarily.
No.
But this is the argument now is basically the opposition saying, hey, we think we've got a way to wedge the government. We can make them look like they're coming out of that after our super.
Okay.
What would come next? What else are you going to do? Mm. It's our money. Leave it alone. Don't you want us to have a comfortable retirement? So the political lines get really messy really fast.
Fear works in politics.
Yeah.
It does, right? I don't want to take sides on this one. When you've got even the Financial Review, right, the business paper, yesterday came out and said, yeah, $3 million sounds about right. We should probably pay more tax above that. So when the Finn's saying it's a good idea, I think we can assume it's not a bad idea as a starting point. Is it the right implementation? Is it the right level? You can argue about those things. But, I mean, if you've got a copper or a fiery or a nurse or a tradie who's paying 30, 32, 35 cents in the dollar, and you're telling me someone with $5 million in super is paying 15%,
yeah.
I reckon it's pretty easy to look at that and go, there's something wrong here, guys. Like, saving for retirement, great. Using as a tax, massive tax dodge. I think we can fix that one.
Scott, I'm going to use myself as an example here. Sure. I've had about 10 different jobs in 10 different years, and I've been a stay-at-home mum for a really long period of time. I have no idea where any of my super is.
Yeah.
There's $16 billion in unclaimed super just sitting there waiting for people to come and grab it. Is that a lot of people in that situation? Obviously, that's a lot of money. And how easy is it to go and find and consolidate all of my supers?
So it's getting heaps easier, Margo, which is such a great question. You need to do it, right? Because what's going to happen is you've got 10 different funds all charging you fees right now. And frankly, the super industry isn't so good that you want to pay them all different sorts of fees.
But where do you find it?
Yeah, see, I'm going to say MyGov and people all shudder and turn away from the radio. Yeah, exactly. But you know what? It's actually easier than you. So you jump on MyGov. Almost everyone's got a MyGov account these days. Jump on, go to the ATO part of the MyGov website and basically look for your superannuation. You'll see all the different funds that are listed there. And it's super, super easy these days. No pun intended. Really easy these days. You can jump on there and see all your different funds and then consolidate them. Go to the fund you like. Pick the one that you like most or just pick one at random. And then to get the other funds rolled into that one fund. It's a bit of paperwork. No one loves paperwork. It's about as easy as you're going to get. And it's super worth doing because it saves you all those fees you're going to be paying otherwise.
I like that you said just pick a random one, Scotty. So it really doesn't matter. Over the long term, annuity, though. So over decades, they're all probably going to end up in a similar-ish spot.
Look, I was being a bit, if you've got 10 and you're saying, well, hang on, which one do I choose? I'd rather you choose one at random rather than not do it at all. I guess that was my point. So don't let that be a problem. You know what? If you're going to choose one, go for a super low fee, industry-based, not-for-profit fund.
What about those ones where they do the hands on the ads?
And someone's on a scissor lift?
Is it the self-managed super fund? Yeah. I want one of them.
No, so that's industry super.
Oh.
So industry super, so there's two different types of funds. A retail fund. Stick with me.
Nah. It'll
be quick.
We're losing you, Scotty. You're going through a
industry
tunnel.
Industry fund is the not-for-profit ones, right? So at the end of the day, I'm a capitalist. I love companies making money. It's good for society, all that kind of stuff. But I don't like people making money when they're using my money to make that money. So go for an industry-funded, not-for-profit fund. Australian Super's one of them. There's REST, there's HESTA, there's heaps of them. Go with an industry fund if you can because their fees are lower. And all of the research suggests if you can keep your fees lower, you're going to have a better result in retirement.
Beautiful. Scotty Phillips, always a pleasure, mate. Thank you very much.
Out of the tunnel. Thanks, guys. Triple M Breakfast. Don't you know Marto,
Margo and Dan on the radio. Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan.
I love what the Lions did yesterday. They tried to steal some of the oxygen from the NRL start of the season. Well done, Lions, by announcing their captain.
Seven are spinning AFL promos already, despite the fact the season isn't off for 2 weeks.
Off for 2 weeks.
The NRL's back.
Why not?
We thought we'd send out a representative of Triple M to go along to the captain's announcement.
We had stuff on and we went, who's our assistant producer? He's an enormous Lions fan. Maybe he's verging on special kitty.
I just have opened up the WhatsApp group chat amongst
Jesus,
us.
Is that him?
That is what our junior producer Alex wore yesterday to the Lions announcement of their new captain.
Everyone close your eyes and think about that bloke who you see at the footy. You go, oh, look at that special kitty. He's dressed up like one of the players.
He's got Lions socks up, Lions training pants, Lions singlet
tucked in.
And a Legionnaire's hat.
Legionnaire's hat's the one with the flap down the back and it's got Lions on the front.
I didn't realise they possibly make a Lions Legionnaire cap.
So he bailed up Lachie Neale, one of the new captains.
A number of people tried to offer him money on the way there. They just said, you poor person, here you go, there's some money.
I'm so sorry what's happening to you, but be strong.
An accident.
You can fight.
The other thing was, though, is that the announcement was done on a boat. So they got on the dock.
Oh, skippers!
They were trapped on the boat with our junior producer, Alex. They looked at this kid out on the dock and went, who the hell is that?
Did you think
and
Alex...
then he proceeded to walk down down the plank and get onto the boat. And as they drifted away from the dock, they went, oh, God, we're stuck with him for the next hour.
I wonder if a few people thought he's the new captain.
Did you think he was such a peanut that he interviewed the skipper of the boat instead of the skipper?
No, but I mean, what a brilliant idea by the Lions to go, we're announcing our skippers. Oh, look, we're on a boat.
On a boat.
He's the skipper.
Okay, so here's Lockie Neal. He's joining us on the phone up next, being pestered by Alex.
As a child, did you have any particular sports person poster up on your wall?
I just had the whole Port Adelaide Footy Club.
Still on my wall.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Oh, no.
Not doing a lot to dispel the special kitty notion, is he?
And he got very specific about AFL because he's an absolute nuffy.
He knows everything.
He's a tragic.
He took it back like a decade.
The Gabba is the home of pandemonium. Who got your 3-2-1 Brownlow votes in the Miracle on Grass in 2013?
Ash McGrath, 3. Jed Adcock, 2. He reckons he set up that play. And 1,
Zorks. Well, he did hand pass it to Zorks.
Yeah, did Zorks kick it? Yeah. So they're my 3-2-1 because I haven't seen any other bit of vision.
If you're Lockie Neal, you're saying your safe word going, can someone save me?
He should stand down from that position and give it to Alex, really. He is the MVP.
We're about to talk to New Lions captain Lockie Neal. We're going to have to apologise first.
Of course.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah. Did you notice our assistant producer dressed up fully as a Lions footballer yesterday asking you ridiculous questions?
It was the first thing that myself and the boys noticed, and when we were on the boat and he was waiting to get on, we were sort of shaking our head going, oh no, who's this nuffy about to jump on?
Did you think he was from Make-A-Wish Foundation and this was his wish?
Well, I had no idea, but I didn't like the look of it.
And how long did he bail you up for, Lockie?
Too long. It was probably only 2 minutes, but it was 2 minutes too long.
Were you impressed by his amount of knowledge and recall from games gone past? Lockie, you were impressed. Tell me that.
Well, not really, because he had to check his phone for all the stats and what he talked about.
Oh, my God, he's an imposter.
I think, you know, people open up their internet browser and goes to Google. Alex actually goes to the Brisbane Lions homepage on Wikipedia, just so he can get up to
date. Lockie, you and Harris Andrews, and he's a good friend of the show, Harris, yes, good Aspley boy, both announced as captain, if anyone didn't know that. But football normally leaks like a sieve. We couldn't find out who was going to be the captain. We kept asking all yesterday morning, even up to 11 o'clock. When did you find out, and how did they keep a lid on the announcement, the Lions?
No, they did well. We didn't find out until Tuesday, arvo, so it was probably only 12, 16 hours before everyone else. And the only people I told was my wife and my mum and dad. So it was pretty low-key. I think the club were excited to announce it and not let it get out. So I think they did pretty well.
Yeah,
pretty special moment, that news being told, Lockie. Where were you? How did you find out? Was it in person? Did the coach call you into his office? Did they make a phone call? How did it happen?
Yeah, coach called me into the office, so I thought it's either going to be really good or really bad.
Go one or two ways, kind of. You're either being rested or.
Yeah. Thankfully, it was good news, but yeah, it either goes one way when you get that tap on the shoulder.
Co-captain's a funny thing. Who's going to be what? Like, who's going to be speaking to the media? You are now. Who's going to be speaking to the last word in the huddle? Things like that. How have you nutted that out?
Yeah, I think we'll share the media role, and Zorks did a great job handling all of that. But I think in recent years, there's been a lot more media that the captain has to do. So being able to share that load, great for us throughout the year. And in terms of the huddle stuff, I think we'll just share that as well. We actually had a laugh yesterday that if you win the toss, you get to do it again the next week. If you lose,
Happened in India? Pat Cummins had won 8 tosses in a row. Steve Smith takes over. He lost the toss.
Exactly.
Go to the casino one night to see how you go.
What would be the weaknesses? I would say perhaps, you know, like obviously you both come with great strength, which is why you've been chosen in the leadership role. But if you're going to let us down somewhere, what would be Harris Andrews?
Where would he let us down?
Tight ass?
Bogan?
You put me on the spot here. I don't know. He doesn't let us down much, but hopefully round one, he's probably playing on big big Charlie Dixon from Port. So the only way he'll let us is if Charlie kicks six or seven.
No, I meant, like, is he like a really bad roommate? Does he smell? Is he a poor driver? Like, what's his flaw, Lockie?
Go personal.
Go personal.
Yeah, personal. I don't think he has too many flaws.
Is he a vegan? You know, like, give us.
No, he's not. Let's say he gives away six goals in that first game. Are you going to rip the strips off him despite him being co-captain? You're going to go, listen, mate, I don't know whether we can keep going on like this.
Well, if his bloke kicks six or seven, it's probably my bloke that's been kicking it to him, so he'll block me.
He'll blame you. All right, Lockie, we appreciate your time.
Can I check one more? Yeah. I want to check with all the lines. Have you moved any closer to Springfield? Is the training out there at Springfield, has that changed your life in many ways?
I've actually moved further away. But
what are you doing?
Only by a few minutes. It only takes me about 35 from where I am, so... compared to a lot of other cities, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, and right. I've actually been able to call my parents and my mates a little bit more. And so I'm trying to take the positives with
that.
What podcast are you listening to on the drive?
I don't actually listen to podcasts. I listen to music and call my friends.
I think he listens on the Listener app to our Triple podcast, M. Triple M. He'll obviously be listening back to himself this morning, won't you, Lockie?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for talking to us.
Apologies for yesterday, Lockie. Yeah, and sadly, Alex now has your mobile number to set up this call.
Dear.
So I'd be blocking and reporting that instantly, mate, ahead of the season. Good on you, buddy.
I gave him a fake number, so don't worry.
Perfect.
And you might find yourself at 20-7 tonight going, oh, Jesus, hold on, footy's starting at 7. I haven't got any, I might need a drink, and you might go, maybe Jimmy Brings
could bring Jim Beam
because Jimmy Brings does bring Jim Beam so we can watch our team.
They're looking to...
Wow.
It became big during COVID, the home delivery of alcohol, didn't it?
And it certainly did.
It needed something to get us through.
Well, and they didn't want people going down to the bottle-o. I've never done it. I'm always well planned.
I don't think I've used it either.
No, but it's for people who run out or who are incapacitated, can't drive to the bottle-o perhaps.
But generally if you're incapacitated.
Have you been Jimmy Brings this morning?
Do you want another bourbon?
Because Jimmy Brings does bring Jim Beam. So
the big thing is... I've never used it, you've never used it, but it's my right to use it I wanted to use it, and the nanny state that we live in, oh no, we got to stop it.
The Attorney General has just announced that she will be putting that out for discussion in relation to home delivery, so we would ask the public to have their say.
I'll have my say. Leave me alone. Like, I haven't used it, as I say, but if I want to, I want to know it's the facilities there.
What I was trying to say is if you're incapacitated, shouldn't be getting Jimmy Brings to deliver more alcohol to
get on your pushy or your skateboard.
Alcoholism is such an issue in our greater society, Marto.
Oh, can you play the violins for Margot, please? It's early. We don't need it. I'll need a drink if you're going to carry on like that all show.
God, Jimmy, yes.
All right. It's people like you and like... Anastasia and like this bloke.
Oh, how dare you group me in with her.
And this bloke.
Where the delivery of the alcohol is to someone who is not seen or who may be severely affected.
Well, I know why he's drinking, because he's married to Miss Piggy. Was that Kermit the Frog?
No, it was that bloke who won their comp last week, didn't he?
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
I thought it was the guy from NASA, maybe. You don't want to light the candle.
Where the delivery of the alcohol is to someone...
All right, well, what he's saying is what happened.
We can't have people brewing their own at home. There could be a kaboom.
Who would have thought that 15-year-olds are ringing Jimmy Brings and saying, can you get me some gog? I overlooked that little bit there. But the problem becomes now they're investigating, I've got to shine the spotlight on this issue, and they're suggesting... And as I say, I've never used it, but if I ever use it, I don't want this to happen.
Some campaigners also want to see a minimum two-hour delay between order and delivery after midnight.
What's the use of that? I'm on the grog. I've run out. Or 2 hours.
I've got to sober up.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have a lie down.
Boring. Ding dong. Piss off. I'm hungover.
Yeah, I'm asleep.
I've got a headache now, bro. Where were you? Yeah.
You know how you have to tick a box to say you're over 18? Yeah. Maybe you should have to tick one if you're an alcoholic, and then they determine whether or not they're going to deliver it to you.
Express delivery.
If I'm just a binge drinker, it should be open slather.
Muddle, Muggo and Dan on Triple M.
I saw them do a news article on Harry Styles. What joy it brought to so many people there the other night on Gold Coast. What was that, Tuesday night?
50,000 people.
Incredible. Can you play a little bit of it? Just, you know, we all know what he sounds like. I even love it.
Apparently he's really funny.
Hold on, just play that again. Oh, did you hear the Aussie, Aussie, Aussie? Hold on, that's a bit of it. Oh, right.
Oh, they love it.
He had a meeting out of his hand. He's the new Robbie Williams because there were girls 50 years of age all the way down to girls 10 years
there
of age.
There were boys and girls, men and women of all ages, all different.
It was just one bloke. I think it was man and 49,900. Yeah, it was one dad.
All right. But I saw the vision and I stopped it. I went, oh, my God, I've finally seen it. I looked really closely. I stopped. Every single, and I mean every single hand had a phone in it. Every single.
Everyone's videoing it.
You go, gee, there are a lot of people using their phone. Every single person was using their phone. And then I went, there was one little girl there who wasn't using their phone, wasn't there, Margot?
Are you talking about my daughter?
I thought about
Memphis?
Your daughter who went with her mate for her 13-year-old mate's birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, what a present anyway to go to Harry Styles. But I thought, your daughter, and I'm going to give you a rap. I don't want to get teary about it, but you are amazing that you have a 13-year-old and a 12-year-old son. Well, no, they're 11, 12 going on 13 and 12, who don't have phones. Mm. You may be, I'm giving you the Super Parent Award. Well, I don't know how mate. You and Cozza,
thank you.
I don't know how you've pulled it off. I used to think you were joking there for a while and think, oh, you've got to relent soon. You've got to relent soon. You have it. I go through, you know, Rick, our audio guru. Mm. We've got kids about the same age, 10 years older than yours. We just survived. Our kids didn't take them to school. They only just got phones. They didn't get involved in all this social media. I don't know how you're doing it, but I want to give you the Super Parent Award.
Oh, thank you.
I even want to ask, there's probably someone else like you, but I don't know anybody else who hasn't given in and given their kids a phone.
It's really tough, Marta, because you want to be able to give your kids everything, right, and meet all of their demands and, you know, all of their wants
everyone
and needs, and everybody else has got one, and the peer pressure that
how
they
are you
feel.
Doing it. What did she say to you? She said something last night.
Yeah, well, she said to me, she came home from Harry Styles and we talked about how great it was, and she was recounting and telling me, you know, everything that went on with her and her friends, and they were singing and her favourite song. And then last night, my girlfriend came to pick me up because we went out for dinner, and her daughter was in the car. She just got a new job, so Memphis came out to say hello. And she said, oh, Mimi, did you have so much fun? Ava was showing me all of the videos and the photos. And Memphis turned and looked at me and said, well, I'd be able to show my mum videos and photos too if I had a phone. And so there's that always that kind of little undertone of a bit of pressure and maybe a little bit of resentment on her behalf.
Yeah.
But I just say to her, it's not a no for forever. It's just a no for right now. I just understand what the impact that social media and having a phone has on young people's minds.
Terrible, man.
It's such a toxic place, and I see how hard it is to be a young girl in our day and age, finding themselves, finding their voice, figuring out who they are. Girls at school
but
can be really
mean. But is she
finding
herself being ostracised at school, though? Like, can I have a look at that? She doesn't
sometimes
know.
Feels left out because they'll sit around, and instead of engaging in conversations, they're all sitting on their phones.
Is this at school?
This is at school.
It's insane that we've got to a position where we're talking about whether or not phones should be banned at school. Why is that a discussion? It should be automatically, they should not be allowed in school.
Well, there was a situation at school where something had happened over social media where girls were bullying each other online. And Memphis was brought into part of the conversation, and I just said, Memphis doesn't have a phone. So she was unable to engage. And they went, I'm sorry? I said, Memphis doesn't have a phone. And they said, oh, okay. Like, he was even bewildered by the fact. I said, no, she doesn't have a phone.
Is there anyone else in her year?
She doesn't have social media.
There's no one else in her year probably who this happens to. I can remember the kid at our school. When I went to school, who'd never watched TV, their family didn't have a TV. We went, what do you mean?
But a lot of parents...
He was the smartest kid in our school.
Yeah, a lot of parents don't feel like they have control over it, Marta. They're like, oh, I don't have a choice anymore. I don't have control.
Yes, you do. You're the parent.
I don't. That's exactly right. And that's what I say. You just say no. That's my job. My job is to say no.
Is there anybody else, and how are you coping? I find find this amazing that you've held out. 133353, are you holding out? Is your kid surviving without a phone at that age, 13 or 15, whatever?
Susan McDonald, we had on our show. She's a head of cyber safety. We had her on a show a few years ago, and the thing that she said that really stuck with me is the internet is an adult place and children have no business in it.
Wonderful.
It is insane, this period. We're going to look back on this where we let every person on earth onto the internet
anonymously.
We're going to go, that was wild. How did that happen?
Like, kids have enough to deal with.
No age restrictions.
Kids have enough to deal with. They don't need this extra stuff. All the apps, all the other things.
And that's why I saluted you and anyone else who has been able to put
tough,
up.
I get it. But just say no. That's our job as parents, to protect them. Michelle.
Look at Lisa with Sunnybank. We've got to keep moving. Yeah, got her first one at 16, was it? Crawled.
Michelle from Clontarf, 133353. Have you held out off on the phone? How old was your child?
My son is 15 this year. He still doesn't have a phone, but I have two older daughters that are now 23 and 21. Yes. They were 15 too, but my elder daughter, we took hers off her when she was 16 for doing the wrong thing, and we didn't give her back to her until she was 20.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point, Michelle. A phone should be a privilege, though, right?
Well, it's a responsibility. Yes. I see a lot of kids getting phones for birthdays and Christmas. I said to my kids, when you do eventually get a phone, it won't be a present. It is a responsibility that you will get at some point when I deem it to be appropriate. It's not a gift. It's not a present. It's not a privilege. It's a means of communication for me to get in touch with you when I need
to. We've got to change this way of thinking.
Totally. I hear Corey's actually going to redact your phone privileges, or at least the tap and go portion.
This is Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan. Brisbane as.
Whoa. Hey, we do love a feud, and here's a good one going on at the moment. Yeah. And public feuds. No use no having feuds if we don't know about it. Yeah. An angry feud has broken out after dog feces tossed from an apartment complex struck a man while he was walking on the path below.
Oh, my Lord.
I'll let you soak that in. All right? So somebody's thrown a dog poo over their balcony.
I'd rather it not soak in. It's a bit smelly.
It doesn't say whether it was what texture. I'm not going to go through that. People are eating breakfast.
To Margo's point, there's a difference between a poodle and a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Okay. Well, it doesn't say what.
Could be a chihuahua.
Let me go through it and see if you can ascertain what's going on here. Brisbane man Sonny Goodens on Monday unleashed on the person responsible in a Facebook post describing them as a cretin for routinely throwing dog poo from the balcony. So he's not accusing them of
just doing it once,
just sweeping a bit off. He's saying, whoever is routinely throwing dog poo from their he's named the apartment block, is that all right? It's in Newstead. Balcony to the footpath below. Your behaviour is absolutely appalling.
Oh, my God. Shit
I've
out.
Seen it fall before today, and now you got me. So he's been hit.
You got. So this person is in an apartment, can't be bothered going to the garbage.
He's just tossing it over the edge.
And it's happened to have collided with old mate's head on this occasion.
He threatened that if he found out who was responsible, he would understandably be returning the gesture. Is he saying what I think he's saying, Margo?
Well, generally, if a dog does something that you don't want it to do, you rub their nose in it.
So he's
going to
get the person and he's going to jam their face
into the dog poo.
Turd pie.
After they were subjected to dog poo to the face.
He seems to be implying that much like a gorilla at the zoo, he's going to throw his own turds up into their balcony.
Oh, okay.
Is that what he's saying?
I thought he was more face into the poo. I think that's more like it. And listen to this. The tossing of animal waste over the balcony was described as
disgusting
by Civic Cabinet Chair for City Standards, Kim Marks. That's a fair title on your door.
Give us that again.
Civic Cabinet Chair for City Standards. So we have some standards here in Brisbane, and she's saying these allegations are
disgusting.
And Brisbane City Council is more than happy to work with the body corporate of this residential building. Sounds like a witch hunt's going on here. To hold this person accountable and pursue them for littering, and I do have that. It's $287 for not picking up a dog turd. It's $287 for general littering. I think we can say they've done both of these things. Mm-hmm. And it's $18,000 because that's assault. That fine. If you assault somebody, is that throwing dog poo assault?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Now, do we have to analyse this with ballistics, much like the JFK assassination, go to Newstead and try
He reckons
work
he knows
out.
Where it's coming
yeah,
from.
Back and to the left.
But who knows
back
if there was wind that day, if someone from another balcony
the trajectory was
it,
off.
The wind northeasterly got it and clopped into this bloke's head.
I heard someone reckons there might have been a second poo thrower on the grassy knoll
Jesus.
Just up there on Kyabra Street.
Maybe he should change his walking path, perhaps.
Oh, victim blaming. Victim blaming you. I get
how very woke of you. It's all his fault, huh?
Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M Breakfast. They're Brisbaneers.
We had to rejig the 8 a.m. game again. We dropped Have You Been Attentioning because of a cease and desist. And then we played Are You Smarter Than Margo? Apparently someone else is doing that.
Some other radio station doing it.
Then we did Beat the Bang yesterday, which was a ticking bang device. Apparently there's a game called Beat the Bomb that's been played for like decades on radios.
Rubbish.
You can't bloody do that either.
Well, all right. We've thought outside the square. We had a meeting.
We've come up with something else.
We've got the new comp.
Triple M's. What's that noise?
What's that noise? So it's going to be a mysterious noise we're going to play now, and you need to identify it.
Sounds like...
No, we've checked. There's absolutely no other game...
Called what that noise?
Secret sound. Are you sure? I'm older than you guys. They used to do a thing called secret sound.
Oh, you have been around a lot longer than us.
Yeah,
I guess you could refer to it as a secret sound, but I think what that noise much catchier.
What's that noise?
So,
okay.
Drew, this is brand new, but are you kind of aware of what we're saying here? There'll be a mystery noise and you'll have to identify it.
It could take weeks to
We're going to play it to you, Drew, and you're going to tell us what you think it might be.
All righty, let's have a crack.
There's no hints.
No, we're just going to play the sound, which we've pre-recorded before the show.
If it rolls over, if no one gets it today or Monday, I'll start giving some hints tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, oh, you want to do a hint? I thought maybe a hint in a week or two's time, because this could eke out.
I've seen some of these, what's it called? What's that noise?
What's that noise?
I've seen some of these go for weeks.
How could you have? Because this is the first time it's ever been played on radio, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either.
You ready, Drew?
Ready.
Listen closely and carefully, Drew.
Bundy, later than usual.
I think that was a clue.
Hold on.
Yeah. Sounds like you opened a can of Bundy by the sounds of it.
I know, you weren't supposed to say that after you opened it.
That was the clue. We were going to play that clue in June.
Listen, just give Drew the prize.
Well, hang on. No. All right, Drew.
Does it sound like...
Drew just got it.
Marto opening a can of Bundy. Let's have a listen closely.
All right, Drew, you smartass. When did he do it? It's specific. Sure, it's a can of Bundy, but what time did he open it?
It wouldn't have to be after the show, surely.
After the show yesterday. That's when you did it. You did actually do it after the show yesterday, didn't you?
No, I did it about 5 minutes ago, and I've still got most of the can, and I put it back in the fridge. I only had a sip.
I think Drew's won.
Well done, Drew.
Well, what are we going to do for the next few months?
Well, that's a stupid game.
It's good for me, mate. I can't complain.
Have you ever heard of that game before? Like, there's a secret sound, and it's supposed to be tricky. I didn't know why I was drinking the Bundy.
It wasn't very tricky, though, was it?
No. Well done, Drew. What's he won?
You're off to, I'd see, Cocaine Bear, which is in cinemas, the outrageous comedy inspired by true events.
It goes from worse to worse, though. Is that a thing?
Drew, we haven't seen it. When you go and see the movie, can you give us a ring and give us a review, whether it's a proper thing?
Bloody oath, I will.
Right, thanks,
good on you.
Have we also announced, properly, other winners, the Dolphins ticket winners?
Oh, okay.
Clark in Moorumba Downs, Louise in Cannon Hill, Trevor in Bevallon, Jason in Sunnybank are finding themselves at the Dolphins Sunday afternoon at Suncorp.
And tomorrow, one of them's going to be upgraded. Someone who's won tickets this week to the Dolphins.
In the back of a ute.
Sideline.
Village Motors, North Lakes, Australia's number one GWM dealer, 2 years in a row.
Oh, Bundy, later than usual.
Quite amazing that he got that from one go, wasn't it?
Well, I might as well finish it off now.
Billy Slater is joining us up next. Queensland Maroons coach, Storm great.
I hope he's not on the line listening.
That was not the secret sound.
Tidy yourself up.
What are we doing tomorrow? The Dolphins. We are sending someone to the Dolphins. This is unreal.
Try it.
To watch the Dolphins' first ever game in the NRL against the Roosters. Are you taking your pants off or putting them back on?
The show's done. Pants off Thursday. Marto's out.
Had a rum.
It's ready to go.
We're nearly there.
Don't forget Fry Pan Friday tomorrow as well. Flock of Friday. What is it? Flock of 80s Friday.
But let me just say, the Dolphins.
Are we still doing the one repeat work day?
That'll be happening.
We're announcing where the
best. What's the song, though?
Well, I'll tell you that tomorrow.
For today.
Oh, jeez. I haven't said about the Dolphins tickets yet. You're distracting me.
Hey, listen, cutting into Mitch's time.
Yeah.
Mitch.
That's the one repeat.
But the Dolphins, we're going to get to sit in the back of a ute.
Thank you. That's the bit I was wanting to get to.
Thank you to Village Motors. Yeah. Incredible work.
God, good show. It was a bit of a loose finish, wasn't it?
Just talking the Dolphins, you know, you bought me that Dolphins air freshener.
Have you used it yet?
Yeah, it's hanging
does
off
it smell
the mirror.
Good?
Is it just I didn't know that's what dolphins smell like.
Just a can of
ocean breeze.
Is it tuna? Tuna in brine? What is it?
Smells like Lynx Africa.
Oh.
That's what dolphins are.
That's ocean breeze.